Let's take our Bibles, turn to Daniel chapter 9, or Daniel chapter 6 this morning. Daniel chapter 6, we're going to read verses 16 through 23 as we get started. Daniel 6, verse 16 says, "Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel, and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, Thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. And a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet and with the signet of his lords, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. Then the king went to his palace and passed the night fasting. Neither were instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. Then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste unto the den of lions. When he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel, and the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God, whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the lions? Then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. My God hath sent his angel, and hath shut the lions' mouths, that they have not hurt me. For as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. Then was the king exceedingly glad for him, and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him, because he believed in his God." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for all those that have chosen to be here this morning. And Father, we thank you for their faithfulness. And Father, I pray that you would encourage them from your word this morning. Pray I help each one of us to understand more about you, have a greater love for you as a result of the time we spend in your word. Father, may your word go from my mouth accurately, clearly. May you guide my thoughts. And Father, we just thank you for what you will do this morning as you teach us from your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Do we understand that the way we live our lives is the best indication of what we believe about God? A Christian has their focus on the things of the world, does not believe God is sufficient. Christian who is constantly anxious about life doesn't believe that God is all-powerful. However, a Christian like you this morning, you've chosen to honor God by being faithful to church this morning. You've chosen to honor God by your giving this morning. That shows that you believe that God is worthy of praise. God is worthy of honor. A Christian who invests time in God's word and in prayer daily believes that God is all-knowing. His word contains all that we need to know about him and believes that he is worth knowing. A Christian who lives a separated life each day of the week believes that God is a holy God and we are to reflect his image before others. So everything that we do is a reflection of what we believe about God. We live our lives based on who is most important, God or myself. And there are many examples of this throughout scripture, and even throughout history. We see examples of this time and time again, and you could give me many more, I'm sure. But look at some examples. How about Adam and Eve? Who was most important to them? Well, it came down to the fact that they thought they were most important, and what they wanted was most important. It showed what they believed about God. Abraham, he left his homeland to follow God. It showed what he believed about God, that God is faithful, that God would keep his promises. How about Ruth? To Ruth, Naomi's true God was much more important to her than her false gods back in Moab. How about Judas Iscariot? He lived for the love of money and he died with guilt. He showed what was most important to him. He showed what he believed about God. Go back to Ahab. He lived for what he wanted. He died trying to protect himself. Then we go to the Apostle Paul. We realize his life is evidence to the fact that our view of God can change. Because before his conversion, his view of God was different. But God transformed his life, and his view of God and what he believed about God changed. And God allowed him to his whole ministry was completely devoted to God. D.L. Moody, his life was focused on preaching the gospel because of what he believed about God. But we go to a negative example. How about Adolf Hitler? Everything that he did was to advance his own cause and his own name. His life ended up in destruction. Abraham Lincoln, he honored God and had a reputation of integrity because of what he believed about God. So what guided Daniel? What guided Daniel in his decisions, in his actions, in his character? One phrase I want to point out this morning that guided Daniel, and that is the end of verse 23. It says, because he believed in his God. It gave him the confidence in his decisions. It gave him the character in his life. All of that because of what he believed about God. And notice the evidences we see throughout this chapter that show Daniel's belief in his God. First of all, I want to look at Daniel had an excellent spirit. Go back to Daniel chapter 6, verses 1 through 3. It said, it pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom. And over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give accounts unto them, and the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. You see, usually when a nation was captured by another nation or another king, usually those who were devoted to that previous king were either killed or they were taken into captivity. But we see here in Daniel, and we looked at Daniel chapter 5 a few weeks ago, and how that Belshazzar, the prophecy against him, had been fulfilled. He was killed that same night that prophecy was given. He was slain. The city was taken by Darius the Mede. But instead of Darius getting rid of Daniel, it said he sets him up in a prominent position here. And so Darius sets up his kingdom, and he sets up 120 princes over his whole kingdom. And then over these 120 princes, he sets up three presidents, and he puts Daniel at the top position. Why was Daniel in that top position? Why was Daniel given such a place of prominence? Was it because he was good-looking? Was it because he was smart? Maybe he was popular with the people, so maybe that was helpful. No. It says here in verse 2, or rather verse 3, it says, because an excellent spirit was in him. Daniel had an excellent spirit, so much so that the king even considered putting him in charge of the whole kingdom, which would have made Daniel then only second in line to the king. Where else do we see that happening? Turn with me to Genesis chapter 41. Genesis chapter 41. Joseph has just laid out a plan because Pharaoh had a dream. And Joseph said, Pharaoh, this is what your dream means. There's going to be 7 years of plenty in Egypt. And then there's going to be 7 years of famine in Egypt. And so Joseph says, Pharaoh, we need to set aside all that we can in those years of plenty so that in the years of famine we'll be able to carry through. But look at Pharaoh's response in chapter 41, verse 37. It says, and the thing was good in the eyes of Pharaoh, in the eyes of all his servants. And Pharaoh said unto his servants, can we find such a one as this is, in whom a man in whom the Spirit of God is? And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, for as much as God hath showed thee all this, there is none so discreet and wise as thou art. Thou shalt be over my house, and according unto thy word shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than thou. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, see, I have set thee over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh took off his ring from his hand and put it upon Joseph's hand, and arrayed him in vestures of fine linen and put a gold chain about his neck. He made him to ride in the second chariot which he had, and they cried before him, bow the knee. And he made him ruler over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I am Pharaoh, and without thee shall no man lift up his hand or foot in all the land of Egypt. Notice what Pharaoh says. He says, can we find such an one as this is, in whom a man in whom the Spirit of God is? I would say that's a parallel to what Darius says of, or what is said of Daniel in Daniel chapter 6, that an excellent spirit was in him. What's the common denominator between Joseph and Daniel? The fact that the Spirit of God was upon them. It wasn't that they were popular. It wasn't that they had a good amount of wealth or anything like that. It was that the Spirit of God was upon them. In Daniel chapter 5, verse 12, we looked at this a while back, and we see that the queen mother is explaining to Belshazzar about Daniel. And she says, "For as much as an excellent spirit and knowledge and understanding, interpreting of dreams and showing of hard sentences and dissolving of doubts were found in the same Daniel, whom the king named Belteshazzar, now let Daniel be called and he will show the interpretation." We say she recognized Daniel had an excellent spirit. I'm going to read a couple passages for you. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 27, it says, "He that hath knowledge spareth his words, but a man of understanding is of an excellent spirit." Then again in Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verse 13, Solomon says, "Then I saw that wisdom excelleth folly, as far as light excelleth darkness." You see, Joseph and Daniel had wisdom, they had understanding, they had knowledge. Where did that come from? Proverbs chapter 2, verse 6 says, "For the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding." It's God that gave them that wisdom. It's God that gave them that ability. Turn with me to Daniel chapter 1, verse 17. We've pointed this out before. Daniel chapter 1, verse 17. He's talking about Daniel. He's talking about his three Hebrew friends here. He says, "As for these four children, God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom. And Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams." God gave Daniel and his three friends special ability. But it came from God, and God allowed them to be placed in places of honor in Babylon because they had knowledge and understanding and wisdom from God. What does that show us about their view of God? It says they believe that because God is a God of excellence in every area, that as his people, they needed to practice, or they needed to be people of excellence in every area of their lives. And so we see them happening, and we see the God honoring that as they were striving for excellence. How they served, how they responded, how they communicated showed an excellent spirit. And it caused them to be set apart and to be set above other people. Daniel had an excellent spirit. The second thing we see about Daniel is he was faithful. Daniel chapter 6, verse 4 says, "And the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault. For as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Then said these men, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God." There's another similarity here between Daniel and Joseph. Joseph had a dream that he was going to be in a position above his brothers and above his family. And what happens? His brothers become jealous. His brothers become angry. They respond in like kind. But when Daniel was placed in a second position in the kingdom, these presidents and princes didn't throw a promotion party for him. They said, "Great, Daniel, we're glad you're here." No. They did everything they could to try to pin something on Daniel to accuse him, in order to bring him down, in order to get him out of that position. They were jealous, they were angry, they were covetous of where Daniel was. Daniel was a man of integrity. He wasn't perfect. The Bible never tells us that Daniel or Joseph or any of those men were perfect. But he was a man of faithfulness. He lived a faithful life. And it says these men could not find any fault in Daniel because he was faithful. The motto of the Marines is Semper Fidelis, always faithful. What does that mean? They're always committed to their responsibilities. They're always standing by their duties. They're willing to stand by their comrades. They're willing to fulfill their responsibilities, to support each other. Always faithful. Daniel was faithful in all that he did. And notice the one area that they thought that they could trip Daniel up. Verse 5, "Except we find it against him concerning the law of his God." They thought, we've got to find something with Daniel, with the law of his God, that we can pin on him. They thought, if we can make it appear as if Daniel's religion or Daniel's God is in conflict some way with the kingdom of Darius, we've got him. So they put together a scheme in verse 6. It says, then these presidents and princes assembled together to the king and said thus unto him, King Darius, live forever. What a hypocritical statement that is. All the presidents of the kingdom, the governors, the princes, the counselors, and the captains have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish a decree and sign the writing, that it be not changed according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. Wherefore King Darius signed the writing and the decree. So they come to the king with flattery. Oh, king, you're such a wonderful king. And we've got this idea. How about we make a law just for 30 days? We make a law that anybody who bows down to anybody but you in that 30 days, we're going to throw them in the den of lions. Does that sound good, oh, king? Yeah. That sounds like a good idea. And so he signs it, puts a seal on it, and makes it a law. History repeats itself today. We have people who want to do away with Christians, with their teachings. And people don't like the fact that these Christians are actually having an influence. So they're convincing the government to make laws that are contrary to the Bible. Why? So they can accuse us of breaking the law. We see it today. History has repeated itself over and over again. Saul did the same thing to the early church. He thought he was doing right, but yet he was trying to make it difficult for the Christians to follow Christ, and so he would persecute them. He would make things against them so that they would be taken to prison, so they'd be put to death. Again, it happens all the time. But notice what Daniel's response is to these decisions in verse 10. He went and hid in a corner, right? He says, I'm doomed now. No, it says, now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Why did Daniel do it? Because he was faithful to his God. Because it showed what he believed about God. And he says he opened his windows. Is this the first time he opened his windows? I don't believe so. I believe it was a practice of Daniel to go to his house, open his windows toward Jerusalem, and pray to his God 3 times a day. And so he did everything exactly as he did it before. He was faithful in his devotion to God. He knew that God was faithful. He believed that God was faithful, and so he said, because God is faithful, I need to be faithful. It doesn't matter what men will do. It doesn't matter that they've made this decree. It doesn't matter that that's going to change some things. It doesn't matter. God is faithful. I need to be faithful, and I need to do exactly what I've been doing in my devotion to God. So Daniel's excellent spirit and his faithfulness, we see, even impacted the king. Look at verses 13 and 14. Let's read on verse 11. Let's continue on there. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying. Imagine that. Making supplication before his God. Then they came near and spake before the king concerning the king's decree. Hast thou not signed a decree that every man that shall ask a petition of any god or man within 30 days, save of thee, O king, should be cast into the den of lions? The king answered and said, the thing is true, according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. But look at the king's response. Then answered they and said before the king, that Daniel, which is of the children of the captivity of Judah, regardeth not thee, O king, nor the decree that thou hast signed, but maketh his petition 3 times a day. Then the king, when he heard these words, was sore displeased with himself. It doesn't say he was mad at the men. He's saying, oh, how could I have allowed them to deceive me like this? How could I have allowed myself to be taken in flattery like this? And he set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. He did everything he could. He said, how can I change this? How can I turn this around? He labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. Then these men assembled unto the king and said unto the king, Know, O king, the law of the Medes and Persians is that no decree nor statute which the king establisheth may be changed. We see here, thirdly, that Daniel did not fear the king. Daniel had an excellent spirit. Daniel was faithful to God. But we see, thirdly, Daniel did not fear men. Daniel did not fear men. Proverbs 29:25 says, The fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. Daniel understood the sovereignty of God. He believed that God was in control of all things. And God would not allow anything to happen to him that would not enable him to deal with it. He didn't say God knew that he wouldn't allow anything to happen to him. He just knew that God would not allow anything to happen to him that he would not have the ability, the enablement to deal with it. Job's a good example of that. You look at the life of Job. How many of us would like to go through what Job did? None of us would volunteer for that. But yet the same God that took Job through those trials and stood with Job through those trials, that Job was believed that God would stand by and believed who God was, believed God was faithful, believed that God was sufficient, believed God was sovereign, that same God is our God. That same God is the one who will take us through trials. How many have gone through trials in the last month? Probably all of us in one way or another. But it's the same God that Job had, the same God that Daniel had, that's our God. It'll help us through those trials. Hebrews chapter 13, verses 5 and 6. It says, Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, The Lord is my helper. I will not fear. Well, man shall do unto me. You know that? I believe that was Daniel's motto. Yeah, Hebrews wasn't recorded when Daniel was alive. But I believe Daniel knew that principle. I don't have to fear because God is my helper. God is on my side. Daniel knew what he would have to face. I'm sure Daniel knew the writing. He knew the decree. It says he did when Daniel knew the writing was signed. He knew exactly what the decree was. But he continued in prayer just like he'd always done because he believed God was trustworthy and there was nothing in man, there was no man that he had to fear. He knew God was in control. He knew God was in control of the animals. So those lions didn't bother Daniel. Yeah, I know, I'm going to be thrown to the den of lions. Okay, I will, so I'll go. He knew that was going to happen. Proverbs 16:7. We saw the king's response. It says, "When Proverbs 16:7, when a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him." Daniel pleased the Lord. And the king, who should have been Daniel's greatest enemy because he had just taken over a kingdom, ended up being one of Daniel's most devoted helpers. Concerned for Daniel's safety. He couldn't sleep that night because he was concerned for Daniel's safety. Daniel pleased the Lord, and the lions that could have devoured him in minutes didn't harm him. You look at verse 24, and we'll read this all in just a minute. Verse 24, the king commanded them, they brought those men which had accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of lions, them, their children, and their wives, and the lions had the mastery of them, and break all their bones in pieces, or ever they came at the bottom of the den. Remember, these lions hadn't eaten all night. They were hungry. And so when these other men were cast into the den of lions because of what they had done, and God allowed them to be judged for what they'd done, so they had the mastery of them. It said they had the mastery of them, and their bones were broken, they were devoured before they even hit the bottom. And I would say that Daniel had the best night's sleep that night in the den of lions. Because the king couldn't sleep. He was too concerned about Daniel. And I believe these men wouldn't sleep until they knew that Daniel was dead. Until they knew that Daniel was taken care of. I don't believe they could sleep either. Where's Daniel? He's got the softest bed in the house. He slept comfortably, I believe. Because he believed in his God, it says in the end of verse 23. Daniel didn't have anyone to fear. So Daniel's taken up out of the den. No manner of hurt was found in him because he believed in his God. Do we have that same confidence in God today? Do we live our lives with an excellent spirit, a spirit controlled by the Holy Spirit, where the fruit of the Spirit is produced in our lives and displayed to others? Do we live a life of faithfulness because we believe we have a faithful God and that we ought to reflect his character? Do we believe that God is trustworthy and that we don't have to fear anything that man may do to us? You know, we look at the situation in our country today, and you know, there's a lot of fear out there. We just went through COVID for a couple miserable years. You know, I believe one of the biggest agendas of that was fear. And you know what? A lot of people, it worked. That's my opinion. You can have an opinion too. That's mine. But I believe it was fear and it worked. We don't have to fear anything. We don't have to fear anything on this earth because God is in control. Because he is a faithful God. He is a sovereign God. On Wednesday night, we talked about meditating on who God is as we read his word. And we talked about Psalm 18 and taking that passage alone. In the words, it talks about he is our rock, he is our fortress, he is our deliverer, he is our strength. We love him because. And you take those attributes and those character traits of God and you attach them to prayer requests and say, God, I pray according to your will that you give healing because you are the one who gives life. You are the one who gives breath. You are the one who is our creator. You know us. And we attach the character of God to our prayer. We attach it to our lives as well. We live our lives in the fact that we know who God is and we believe who God is. What we believe about God will affect how we live our lives. You know, there may be someone here this morning that what they believe about God is keeping them from trusting Christ as their Savior. I trust that if that's you today, that you'll change how you believe about God. And that you'll believe that what he did on the cross through Jesus Christ is sufficient to pay for your sin. And that what he offers you in his gift of salvation is enough and all that you need to trust him to be your Savior and have eternal life. So what we believe about God will affect how we live. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this example of Daniel, for his testimony that he had an excellent spirit. Father, we thank you for his faithfulness and the fact that he couldn't be accused of anything because he was faithful to you. And Father, we thank you for how that he didn't have to fear because he knew who you were and he believed who you were. Father, help us to have that same confidence. Help us to live our lives demonstrating who you are to others. And I pray that you would be honored and glorified through our lives each day. In Jesus' name, amen.